We address, if not answer, the multi-gazillion-dollar question of interest. I'm David Brancaccio. First, Colonial Pipeline has restarted the biggest fuel network in the country, apparently after extricating its systems from the grasp of cyber attackers seeking ransom. The company said it'll take several days to ramp back up, and analysts say it could take a couple of weeks before ample supplies return, which means many will still face dry gas stations today, especially in the southeast. This is disturbing for anyone who needs to drive kids to school, drive to work, and it's something else that professional drivers don't need these days. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports that for truck drivers, even if they're in places where the diesel supply is okay, there is a lot else that is not.
Ralph Garcia parked his semi in Needles, California, and gave me a call. He's on his way home to Albuquerque after a delivery run to Sacramento. He says he wasn't really ever worried about the fuel pipeline shutdown impacting his route, but he did say that the past year has been chock full of challenges.
I think the biggest thing was getting a meal.
He says there were even a couple of times where he had to park his truck and walk through a drive-thru.
I had to walk up because I didn't have my car and obviously couldn't drive a semi. I got some weird looks a couple of times when I'm walking up to the counter.
He says things are gradually starting to open back up on his route between New Mexico and California, but the more pressing concern for his industry right now is drivers.
You can't hire guys fast enough. It's really hard to find somebody to do the job or qualified or pass a drug test. So I think that's the biggest dilemma right now is driver shortage.
He's been driving a truck for 46 years and says folks in his line of work always figure out a way to adjust and survive. He just can't wait to go back into his favorite truck stops to visit with so many of the people that he's come to know over the years. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
We learned a day ago that prices consumers pay spiked more than expected in April. Today, it is wholesale prices, up 0.6% last month alone, 6.2% in a year. We should factor in that a year ago was awful, so we expect prices up some. The 10-year interest rate, a useful benchmark for consumer loans, is at 1.69%, down slightly today but up from a day ago. Let's consult Mark Hamrick, a senior economic analyst for Bankrate.com. Good morning to you.
Good to be with you, David. Thank you.
I mean, there's inflation of the acute kind, like getting a cold, or there's inflation of the chronic kind. How do you think this is shaping up given the new data that's come in this week?
Well, clearly it's a more severe case in the early stages than I think anyone reasonably expected. The multi-gazillion dollar question right now is whether this is sustained and whether this essentially elicits an earlier response from the Federal Reserve in the form of an interest rate increase, when previously Federal Reserve officials had basically said there will be no sustained inflation here to see and we'll be able to move along.
If you actually look at the real interest rates out there, I use the 10-year benchmark, the yield. There has been a move this week. I wouldn't say it has been a shocking move upward.
This is not earth-shattering with respect to what we are seeing. And of course, it's a difficult balancing act because, you know, if you believe that the Federal Reserve essentially does a 180 and does bring the risk of a rate increase that it controls forward, then that indeed then could be transmitted on through the yields that you're speaking of there and have a dampening impact.
Mark Hamrick, he's the senior economic analyst for Bankrate.com. Mr. Hamrick, thanks.
Thank you.
There is more improvement in the job market with the weekly tally of people signing up for unemployment down again this morning, a day after the Dow and the S&P posted their sharpest drops since October on the spiking inflation news. The Dow today is up 331 points, 1%. The S&P and the NASDAQ each up 0.9%.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
Our Marketplace Econ Extra Credit movie we're watching this month gives us a strong dose of what economists call creative destruction, how innovation chews through the old ways to bring us the new. The movie is called The Last Blockbuster, the video rental chain that was part of our lives and now is down to a single one in Bend, Oregon. A lot lined up to kill that video star. For instance, when a younger Netflix offered to sell itself to Blockbuster for big bucks, Blockbuster said no. Another nail in the casket, DVDs, when they replaced videotapes and Walmart, Target, and Best Buy started selling the discs cheap. Now, beyond Blockbuster, for other chain stores that touched our lives pre-pandemic, innovation and digital competition are only part of the challenge. So is debt.
You know, in recent years, quite a few of the retailers that we see in the malls, many of them have been bought by private equity firms.
Soma Biswas covers bankruptcy and restructuring for the Wall Street Journal and WSJ Pro Bankruptcy. Packs of investors, private equity firms, have bought up old friends like J. Crew, Lucky Brand, Neiman Marcus, PetSmart, Petco, Guitar Center. The private equity people like to borrow money to pay for the purchases of these stores, with that debt piled onto the stores. Maybe the strategy would have worked better if the whole retail landscape wasn't changing.
For retailers, when they're facing pressure from e-commerce, while they might be able to sustain that debt if they weren't facing that pressure, you know, that made it harder. It certainly contributed to quite a few retailers filing for bankruptcy or even liquidating and disappearing.
You see, many private equity investors are not known for patience, the patience required to adapt store brands to get through the e-commerce onslaught and now pandemic by pumping more of their money in.
Typically, they're buying something with the idea that they can exit it profitably within, let's say, 5 to 7 years. But if the company can't sustain its debt and has to restructure, as happened with J. Crew and Neiman Marcus, they typically don't try to save it by putting in more money. They let go of it. They move on to other investments.
But other firms do have a longer time horizon. Simon Property, which owns more than 100 shopping malls across the country, knows it's not much of a shopping experience if no retail stores exist and their malls become ghostly caverns of emptiness. So this mall owner has been buying a variety of store brands, including, this week, Eddie Bauer. But Simon knows real estate.
They don't really know that much about maintaining a brand and running a retailer. So they've partnered with a company called Authentic Brands, making sure the merchandise is what people want. So they've partnered with them to buy up quite a few of these retailers, Forever 21, Brooks Brothers, Aeropostale. Yeah, the list goes on.
Another way some firms are trying to keep these retail brands from going the way of Blockbuster, not private equity, not ownership by a mall owner, a third approach, spin the stores off into separate companies on the stock market, hoping stock investors will provide the capital to get them through. L Brands is doing this with Victoria's Secret and Bath & Body Works. If people get their heads out of their screens and go back to the malls after their vaccinations, some of these strategies to stave off Blockbusterization might actually work. I'm watching one movie a month, exploring themes from economics and talking to you and the experts. This month, it's the film called The Last Blockbuster. All that is in our weekly Econ Extra Credit newsletter. You can sign up for free, marketplace.org/newsletters. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.